And we're joined on the phone now by Dr. Catherine Laughlin, the city doctor. She's the principal of Laughlin Consulting Solutions, and she holds leadership roles in some of the most groundbreaking and innovative projects in the field of placemaking. Welcome, Dr. Laughlin.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for being here with us tonight. We appreciate it. First of all, tell us a little bit about what you do. What is placemaking?
Well, placemaking is really about creating spaces in a city that reflect a city's identity, that really inspires love, pride, and enjoyment by its residents and visitors alike. So it's really about creating spaces and places within a community that really culminate to provide residents with an experience of a place so that they can interact with other residents, enjoy the natural or created beauty of a space, and generally feel good about being in that space, because what we're finding is that when people feel comfortable and attached to their spaces in their cities, it seems to have some kind of connection to some of the economic choices that they make about staying in that place and other kind of entrepreneurial decisions that they might make in that decision with their job and the things that they're doing there.
So it's not just a feel-good kind of thing, but it actually has an economic impact.
I think that that's really what has sent this conversation from kind of a touchy-feely conversation that people are like, okay, that's great. Why does it matter? Because with the recent research that I was involved with, we really found a connection between the more people loving where they live, having an impact to the economic vitality of that place. And I think it makes sense. Because when you love where you live, you spend more time there. You encourage other people to come visit you there. You're more likely to buy a home there. You're more likely to be satisfied in your job. You're more likely to stick around. Lots of things that we may not think on the surface has a lot of economic implications, but if you think about it for a minute, you start to see that it really does.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that you led something called the Soul of the Community Project a couple years ago, and that Duluth was one of the cities involved. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
The Soul of the Community was really a project that brought together Knight Foundation, who was the funder, the Gallup organization, who did the polling and helped with the development of the research model, and myself, whose job was really to be a part of the research team as well as to lead the dissemination of the findings on the ground and help with the creation of the project. And yes, we did study Duluth. It was one of the cities that were one of our 26 that we studied. And it was a fascinating project that really asked these very two simple questions about a place. And that was, what makes people love where they live? And why does it matter? When we started this, none of us were placemakers. I didn't even know that word. I mean, it was a totally new idea to me. We were just trying to understand, what does the role of place have in people's lives? And how can you impact that? So yes, Duluth was one of the places that we did study those 3 years of the survey.
And what was the smallest community you studied? How big?
The smallest community was probably Milledgeville, Georgia. They only have about 17,000 residents. So we had a huge range of cities, from the smallest town to big cities like Miami and Detroit.
I understand from my reading that at the end of the study, you found that there were three main qualities that attach people to a place. What are they? Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Sure. So I think what's powerful also about this research was that, you know, we did study a diverse section of places. I mean, big cities, small towns, medium-sized towns for 3 years. So we ended up talking to about 43,000 people. And our findings about what most drive people's attachment to a place were remarkably similar. All 3 years of the project, in every city we were in, the same three things kept coming up over and over and over. And they were social offerings, which is really just the opportunities for residents to have positive social interaction with each other in the city. So having those kinds of human interaction opportunities. And then feelings of openness, which really have to do with how welcoming are we as a place to a lot of different kinds of people? Do we create a sense of belonging here by our residents? Because feeling like you belong somewhere really does help root you to that place. And then finally, aesthetics. People really need to live in a place that they look around and feel proud of. And whether that's the natural spaces that were there when we showed up or the things that we did with those spaces once we got there, it does really correspond to a level of enjoyment by the residents. So those three things really are what is most empirically linked with those feelings of attachment. And as you change people's perceptions, you know, of any of those things, like if you can change people's perceptions of social offerings in 1 year and they feel like there are more things for them to do in a place and more opportunities for them to feel connected to each other, you see same-year differences in attachment. So this is a very active model where you can change things about a place and see very quickly some results of that work happening.
Well, you led right into my next question, which was how can cities or communities, you know, change and improve how residents or visitors feel about those places? What are some specific things that you saw done?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do. And I think that when we come together in places, we have to recognize that we as residents are in a partnership with our city's leadership. So it's not always what the city does for us to create a space that we enjoy. It's also what we do within those spaces. So I have seen things that work remarkably well that are very, very small. I mean, even things like putting, as happened in Buffalo, New York, putting Adirondack chairs out along the Buffalo waterfront where people had not been enjoying the waterfront before, and really driving people back to a space and a place and creating a place of enjoyment for people really corresponded to them basically redeveloping the waterfront of Buffalo because you created a space where people wanted to be and set chairs out just to send the signal out that this is a place that we should enjoy. But, you know, we see a lot of different kinds of things, opportunities in our parks, around our trails, to create neighborhood opportunities where people can just get together and enjoy their space together. Sometimes games can be a lot of fun. A lot of cities, for example, in Philadelphia, one of the things that they were trying to do at a local college there to really attach young people, because one of the things that's hard to do with this work is young people, and how can we attach them? Because they have such an impact on the economies of places and their talent and their intellectual capital. So the idea was, how do we attach them to Philadelphia? They love the college, but do they love the place? And creating really what amounted to games where they were looking for certain spaces within the city. So the kids were given like a scavenger hunt kind of map as part of their freshman orientation, so that they get out into the city and they start learning the things about the place as a way to kind of blur that line between university and place to really connect those kids down. So it can be a $666 million renovation of a place like they did in Oklahoma City, or it can be a scavenger hunt in Philadelphia, or it can be chairs in Buffalo, New York. It all has an impact on how people feel about a place.
We're speaking with Dr. Catherine Laughlin. She advises elected officials, planners, business leaders, and community leaders who are trying to improve their cities and communities. Catherine, how does, you know, we're a tourist town up here, a tourist community on the edge of the Boundary Waters, Canoe Area Wilderness, and Lake Superior. Mm-hmm. How does tourism relate to placemaking?
It is very fascinating to me because I think that a lot of the roots in placemaking can be found in how do we really talk about our place to other people. Because one of the things about understanding community attachment, because it's a new idea, it's different than satisfied being living somewhere. It's really about feeling that rootedness to place, because the things that you show off about your place to somebody else are probably the things that most attach you to it as well. So when people are trying to understand, well, what does this attachment thing mean? Well, what do you show off? What do you encourage people to see when they're here in your city? And that's really where the link to tourism comes in, because tourism has really been that voice of, hey, if you come here, this is what you should do. The issue has been with a lot of cities that are tourist towns or really thrive on the tourism industry, making sure that they stay true to who they are as a place. I think we've all seen tourism campaigns on television or in the print media, and the residents who live in that place go, huh? That doesn't sound like my place at all. So it's really understanding about how, you know, be who you are as a place. Be the best who you are that you can be, but don't necessarily turn yourself into bungee cords and zip lines every 2 feet, because people are really coming to experience your place. So really push that. Be who you are in your tourism. I always say, you know, your number one client for a tourism campaign is your resident, because if your resident doesn't buy it, you've drifted off of who you are as a place and are trying to be somewhere else to attract people to come to you. That doesn't work. But instead, being who you are, showing off the unique qualities that you have, what you offer that people really couldn't get somewhere else, is what people seem to be looking for, especially these days when we travel. We're looking for a place experience. I mean, go on Expedia or TripAdvisor and see that we're not all only evaluating the hotel and whether they had Wi-Fi or not. You'll see parts where people are evaluating that place as a place to visit. You know, the experiential event of traveling is really important to people today. So mm-hmm. We got to stay true to our narrative as we try to figure that out.
And a place that is unique and doesn't look like every other strip mall kind of place around America.
It is critical. Mm-hmm. It is really critical. And I think to leaders, as part of their role in really thinking about placemaking and those economic engines, is around aesthetics. I don't think we've understood until full of the community the role of aesthetics. We've been really quick with the red ink when budgets get tight. You know, parks and aesthetics is one of the first things that go. And I understand to some extent because, you know, budgets are finite. But you have to realize that there's a consequence. Every time you take away an opportunity for a place to be enjoyed by residents or visitors, you take away part of your own economic engine. So you have to balance those ideas out.
Interesting. Well, you know, you talked about the Adirondack chairs in Buffalo and the scavenger hunt and so forth, which sound more like, you know, kind of organized, bigger scale things. What can residents of a place as individuals do to contribute to the feeling of attachment in a community?
That is really a great question, because the fact is that when you talk about openness and you talk about being welcoming in your place and creating a sense of belonging, not only for you, but for your neighbor, that's all on the shoulders of your residents. That's not something we can get our mayor to accomplish for us. That's really how we behave in our spaces. The other thing we learned about social offerings and providing social interaction is that people want to have positive experiences when they interact in their city. So even if you had the greatest social opportunities there, if people get in those spaces and they treat each other poorly and it's a miserable time, then you might as well not have even had the event in the first place. So really it's on all of us as residents to watch how we behave. Civility still matters in creating good places. Welcomeness still matters in creating good places. And it's the little decisions we make every day. When the person cuts us off on the road, how are we going to handle that? Because you're contributing to the climate of your place by what decision you make in that moment. Whether we care about our yard, whether we, even if we don't have huge budgets to spend on landscaping, just even the elimination of blight and decay and just doing the smallest amount of things will contribute to the spirit of a place. I have seen neighborhoods where there wasn't a lot of money to spend on flowers, and yet they kept it clean, they kept it mowed, and you'd see a little basket of flowers on the porch. It says, I still have pride of place. This place still matters enough to me that I'm willing to make this effort, to make this statement. And that's what residents do every day as they operate within their spaces, is they make a statement about the place. And that's something our officials can't do for us, but only a resident can.
Yeah, well said. I love these ideas. What are you involved in right now, Catherine?
Well, I'm traveling quite a bit. I'm involved in a few projects around the world right now. It's a very exciting time in the field of placemaking. I encourage everybody to just get involved, because placemaking really doesn't require anything other than a love of your place. It is really the great equalizer, is our own personal relationships with our place. So I'm doing some work with the mayor's office in the city of Calgary. I'm working with the municipalities in Newfoundland, training their political leaders on how they can become more astute in the ways of placemaking and make it really come to life in their places. in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm doing some work at the neighborhood level, which is really exciting. I just finished a week doing a placemaking residency in St. Paul, which was just amazing to me. I learned so much, and ultimately leading to the Great River Gathering in St. Paul, which was a tremendous, I think, event for that city. I've been on TEDx, doing TED Talks. It's really just trying to get the word out there. Traveling to Stockholm in June to do some work there. So I'm a little bit all over the place just because the field is so exciting right now.
Well, we're lucky we caught you this evening then. Where can folks go to learn more? Can you share your website?
You can go to LaughlinConsultingSolutions.com. You can also go to soulofthecommunity.org and learn some things about what we found in the project.
Okay.
And, of course, I have a Facebook page because this doesn't everybody these days.
Of course. Well, thank you so much. Anything you'd like to add before we have to let you go?
Thank you so much for having me. I've come to Duluth a few times, and I have always enjoyed my time there. My Lake Superior coffee cup is one of my favorites because it holds the most coffee.
Well, next time you'll have to push on 100 more miles and you'll get to us.
I certainly will do it. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Laughlin. Appreciate your time.